What a blessing. You know, it's, what a blessing to see, you know, the men step up and get up there and sing. And I was really blessed by that. When I first came in this morning and I saw they were practicing, I was blessed by that. And it's funny how God works things together, because I was asked, okay, what's the name of your sermon? And, you know, what's the scripture? And I was like, oh, man, I'm not ready yet. So it's, we're going to have to trust God, you know, that God's going to work everything out. Well, when you hear the sermon, you'll see how God works it, you know, because that's the kind of God he is. Let's pray first before we go any further. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together collectively as the body of Christ and to learn of you, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for each person here and the families. And just pray, God, that you would help us to learn of you, God, and draw closer to you, to go deeper into the light as you are in the light. We thank you so much again for this opportunity. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can't sing that song without talking about it, because the words are just incredible. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood and cleanse their guilty stains. I mean, man, what kind of words are those? Those are the greatest words. I love that so much. That's been one of my favorite songs from old, when we used to sing them. It's so good. And it's the blood of Jesus, and drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And this is kind of what we're going to talk about. I'm so glad. That's what I was saying about how God works things out, and the songs and everything. I did tell him I was going to talk about, you know, born again. We're going to look at John chapter 3. And I'm just going to talk about, because this is something that the Lord's been kind of laying on my heart. So I figured, well, I'm just going to preach on it. Want to get a chance. So here I am, because he's gone, and I want to continue to pray for them and the ladies coming home safely, for sure, because we miss them. But yeah, I wanted to talk about John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and starting with verse 3. And what I want to talk about this morning is, my title was like, I am a Christian, or am I a Christian? And so I want to look at a little bit of what that is, and we'll get into that as we look at this. You're all familiar with the story, and I pray that each and every one of you is a true born-again believer. I pray so. If not, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that decision. But we're going to talk about what that is. And the reason is what God's been speaking to me about is, we hear so much about, and I've talked with people about, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian. Okay. But then you look at the things that they say, you listen to what they say, and you look at the things they do, and how they live and everything, and it's like, wait a minute, you're a Christian? And it isn't even that. It's that there's people in this country that believe they're Christian because they're born in this country. That's what I identify. I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm a Christian. So I think, to me, what God has kind of laid on my heart, what I think we need to talk about a little bit, is, and I know he's covered this stuff, and he does a great job. I love him to death. He's so good at giving us the word. And, you know, I'm I get up here and it's like I have to follow that, okay? But he does a great job, and I'm just so thankful that we got him. Eric, the same, Pat, you know, our elder team. I just thank God for them, and they're a blessing to me, and I believe this body. And so I'm excited about that. But I want to talk about this because of we hear so much people's idea of what a Christian is. Well, I'm a Christian, but if you really ask them, do you even know what that is, what a Christian is? Well, yeah, you know. So I kind of want to talk about the story in John. In fact, I think we'll just read through it and then it'll set the stage a little bit what we're actually going to talk about. So, you know what, I'm just going to read it out of the Bible because I got a new Bible. Well, it's fairly new. My old one was a little worse for the wear. He's called it the tablets of the Moses brought down, but it actually wasn't, so. But he teased me about it, and it was King James too, so I kind of upgraded on the ESV, but you know, I kind of grew up on the King James, so when you hear, like, if you hear King James, you know, I'm quoting from memory off of the old, what I learned, and I kind of grew up on King James, so. You probably hear me say that a lot. And, but in John, the gospel in chapter 3, he says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So that's kind of my text, and if you have your Bible, you can kind of follow along. I want to talk about this. I believe that this is really important. I think as nowadays, and I've talked about this. I usually always talk about the gospel in some way when I preach, because that's kind of my passion, is for the gospel. So if I'm up here, you're going to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Pretty much. Because, again, that is my passion. So I want to talk about this, and I think it really pertains a lot because of the environment in which we live nowadays has changed so much. And back in the early church, you know, a Christian was a Christian because they're going to feed you to the lions, you know, for your faith. So if you profess to be a Christian, you're pretty much probably going to be a Christian. Because you don't get fed to the lions for something you don't believe in. But we have come to where we are now in our world today that anybody can claim to be a Christian, and it's not a big deal. And so this story here, we start in verse 3, says, now there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a religious man. And the first thing that came to my mind as I read this, this man Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee, and he's talked a lot about Pharisees. We know, you know, about them, so I'm not going to get into that so much. But the thing that got me, what stood out to me was he was a religious man, a religious man. And how many people who claim to be Christians claim to be religious? Oh, I'm religious. Okay. So you're going to get to heaven because you're religious? You're a Christian because you're religious? And so, you know, I got thinking about that, and I'm praying as I go through this, God, what do you want me to say? What can I say? How can I preach the gospel and do your work, God, and do your will? And so I really want to try to convey this message since I think it's important, and I think we need to look at this in light of our environment today. Like I say, people being religious and thinking that they're okay, that I'm okay, I'm religious, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm a good person. And this is kind of what the Pharisees thought too. Well, they're doing the law. They're doing it all right. All right? Were they? So the question that comes to my mind, do religious people go to heaven? And I've talked to people a lot about that. I've mentioned that to people, and they get that look like, what? I've told people in conversation, well, you know, that that religious people don't go to heaven. It's like, what? What? What do you mean? And it's a great end because then you can talk about what the gospel really means, and you can share with them what it's really about. So that's kind of what we're doing this morning. So he was a religious man, and religion, as we know today, can mean a lot of things. And I'll just read this real quick. It was one of the things that I got off the internet. It says, religion is a range of social cultural systems, including designated behaviors and practices, morals, beliefs, worldviews, texts, sanctified places, prophecies, ethics, or organizations that generally relate humanity to supernatural, transcendental, and spiritual elements. Man's idea of religion. But it's not the gospel. It's man's idea. And am I religious? Is that who I am? Is that how I identify with God? I'm a religious man. And am I a Christian? Do I really even know what a Christian is? Well, you're gonna when we get done today, so Lord willing. And it's man's idea of religion. And, you know, this whole Christian thing has been blown up so much that we cannot help but address this and talk about this. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, and this is kind of what, you know, why we're doing this. He says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Paul tells us we need to do that. Look, if you're ever going to be right about something, you want to be right about the gospel, right? You want to know. You want to know that, man, I'm standing on the truth of God's word. And, you know, I'm just like anybody else. I fall down and make mistakes and everything. And, you know, but I know that I'm standing on the truth of God's word no matter what. And sometimes the enemy, you know, we were talking about, you can be defeated. That's when the enemy comes in and tries to cast doubt on us, especially when we're down. But I don't doubt because my faith, hope, and trust is in the truth of God's word. And I can stand firm on that truth. And we have to examine ourselves and say, hey, man, you know, I want to look at God. I want to make sure, God, that my heart is right before you. Because I want to glorify you, God. I want to bring you glory in my life. That's what I'm here to do. And so we need to examine ourselves and make sure, hey, am I just religious? Am I a Christian? Am I really a Christian? Or is that just a title? Is it just a tag? And so Paul says, examine yourself. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're on the right track. And so we're going to look at that. Christian, like I say, it was earlier, back in the day, if you were a Christian, you paid for it. there's a price to pay for true Christianity. And they paid back in the day. Nowadays, you know, you can sit in church your whole life and die and go to hell. In fact, do you think, if you think about it, is there going to be more people in hell because of religion than probably anything else, if you think about it? How many religions are out there that are false teachers, and these people are thinking they're doing the right thing or they're on the right track, they're deceived. But glory to God and thanks be to Jesus that we have the truth of God's word, and we can stand on that. And we can know that we are on the right track. We'll talk a little more about that. Verse 2 says that this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, he came by night, and I was thinking about that, and it's like, that kind of sums it up, you know, he comes by night, he doesn't want to be seen by any of the other Pharisees or people that are gonna, might judge him or call him out, basically, is what we say. And so it comes by night, and you know, it's kind of like the, we use it, undercover Christians. You know, am I an undercover Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't really talk about it much. I'm not that kind of person. Then we need to pray that God will give you the boldness to speak out and stand firm for your faith if you truly are a believer. Because that's what we're called to do, to go and preach the gospel and make disciples. And so pray, you know, as you examine yourself, pray for that boldness. God, give me the boldness to be able to speak. I don't do it all right either. A lot of times, you know, I'm challenged with certain environments or things where you're like, do I say something? You know, a lot of times, you know, I feel like I can, but there's times and I feel like, I wish I would have said something. That was an opportunity missed because I didn't say anything. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to have that in my life. I want to make sure that I'm bold and I can stand for the truth. Because the first Christians, like you said, they stood, they had to stand. And they paid dearly for it. They paid with their life. We don't have that. But we could have that. We could be faced with that in the future. We don't know. We don't know what our future. We do know what it looks like when we read the end times, and we certainly see, you know, no man knows the hour, it says, but we know the season. Well, are we in the season? It certainly looks like it. So we need to really make sure that we're examining ourselves and know that, man, I want to be that guy. I want to be like Paul. I want to not be ashamed. He says that Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so, you know, we have to make sure, especially as these times get more and more into end times, if that's truly where we are, and I believe we are, we definitely got to be in the season, that we be bold for our faith and we stand up for the truth of God's word. I want to be, you know, I say these things, I think Pat said the other day, I got to make a book of the Jeff's quotes, his one-liners. I have all these one-liners. And a lot it's not mine. I get it from Oswald Chambers is a great reference. And one of the ones I just love, he says, to err on the side of caution. You know, when we come up against a hard thing, and I've talked about this before, we come up against a hard thing, and instead of pressing into God, we shy away. Well, it doesn't really mean that. That's not what it says. And stuff. We shy away from, instead of pressing into God, yes, I'm going to go with what I really believe that God is saying, that the author is trying to tell me through his word. I'm going to err on the side of caution is to go with God, not turn away. So we have to challenge ourselves and go, man, I can't be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be like Paul, the guy that presses into God and not turn away. So we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. And I do not want to be that kind of guy. So verse 3 says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And the first thing I see is he knows and he believes that he is a teacher. But that's as far as it goes. He says, I know that you're a teacher come from God, a prophet, a great man of God. And it's crazy because we see that so much in our world today. People believe Jesus was this prophet. He was this great teacher. He was, you know, all these things other than who he really was and who he claimed to be. And that's why it's so important to know the truth of God's word and stand on that and proclaim Jesus Christ who he said that he is. And, you know, I always go to that that verse where he says, you know, who do you say that I am? Who do you say? That could be the question of questions. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Because the world's saying all kinds of things. The world's saying, on, we're hearing it every day. We see it everywhere. They're claiming all these things, but are they claiming Jesus Christ and him crucified? And that's the gospel that we need to stand on. But are you God? He is God. He is who he claimed to be. So the rabbi, you know, he believes he's a great teacher, but he doesn't believe he is who he said that he was. Matthew 16:15, he said that, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, this is really interesting. Listen to what he says here. This is great. He said, wow, this is awesome. This is so cool because it's exactly what we're talking about. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father in heaven revealed it to you. You see, when you hear the gospel, when you hear the truth, and you say that you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, you are saying that because that is truth that's been revealed to you by God. You don't understand that. You don't get that from, oh yeah, I just found that out. I just learned that. That is truth revealed. That's what he's saying here. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. God called you. God, the Father, has called you. Jesus has called you to it. In fact, he says, God calls us. No man comes unless he's called. And so it's a call of God first before anything else. And this is what we believe. And we teach that God, first and foremost, before the foundation of the world, he wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We who are true believers. And we believe that. And so when you come to true faith, in which I want to talk a little more about, but when you come to true faith, it's because God called you first and foremost. That's what God does. That's God's part. We, in turn, are the believers. We accept that call. And in fact, you know, and I don't want to get there. I don't want to go too far because I want to sidetrack. But, you know, me and Pat were talking about it yesterday at men's Bible study. But it's, know this, that God calls us, Jesus reveals himself, and then you're born again. We're going to talk about born again. For no one can do these signs, he says. Evidence is clear. We can't deny the facts. He couldn't even deny the fact that Jesus was doing miracles. The evidence is there. And it's there today for us too. We cannot deny the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and who he said he was. Okay, and he says, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. This is one of the words that says that God is with him. So he believes that he's doing this because God's with him. Not because he's God, but because God is with him. Jesus said, I am. He's the second person of the Trinity, God incarnate. But he believes that God is with him. And so much of that in our world today is, yeah, God is with me. God is with me. And God's in this church. And God's over here. And I have God. But are you born again? And Jesus calls him out. He says, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And this is what I really want to talk about. Because we hear so much about this Christian, but are we hearing about born again? Are we hearing that language today? And I think, and if you're born again, I pray and I hope that you are, then that is great. And that's exactly what we want. But we also want to be able to go out and share that good news of the gospel and say to people, you know, I say, oh, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian, but my idea of a Christian is different than your idea of a Christian. But if you say, have you been born again? Now you're talking about, now they have to think about it. Have I been born again? Am I born again? Jesus says, so this is a fact. This is a statement. This is a big deal. We need to know this. Examine yourself. Am I born again? Because he says, unless one is born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You're not a true believer if you're not born again. And so it goes back to examining ourselves that, am I born again? Am I a true believer? Am I following Christ? And I'm going to break it down a little bit so that you can see it a little clearer and what it means to be born again. We need to know exactly what the scripture is talking about. And Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, thus one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. See, we're born into this world naturally. Every one of us is here because we're born. We're born of water. We're born of the flesh. But there's a second birth that has to take place. Born again. You have to be born again. And unless you're born again, Jesus, this is a pretty strong statement. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So, and of course, his ideas are, you know, how can that be? He didn't understand that Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. You're already born. You're here. We're here. We're already born. But we need to have that second birth, that spiritual birth, because what's it say? We're dead in our sins and trespasses. And when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit and we're made alive. We're made alive and alive into the Spirit. And we walk by the Spirit. We walk after. I like to say that, walk after the Spirit, because it's a pursuit. So when you're born again, you're a newborn babe in Christ. And it's just like you're born physically, now you're spiritually born, you're a newborn babe, and now you're attending to the spiritual things, the things of the Spirit. Oh, this is a spiritual side. Now, I was dead in my sins and trespasses, didn't understand these things, but now I understand because I've been born again. And being born of the Spirit, I believe, as I read through this and looked at, I don't read a lot of commentaries. Maybe I should. I don't know, but I believe it's the initial is the call of God on our hearts. In order for us to have true, genuine faith, we have to be called by God, and we're called to repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. Called to be born again and become a true believer. So it's a process. I believe that it's a supernatural process of God that we're dead and God makes us alive. God calls us and we answer that call. We're born to Christ. We answer that call and we're born of the Spirit and we're alive unto the Spirit. And we have faith, genuine believing faith. Does that mean you do everything right from that point? Of course not. No. But your faith, true, genuine faith, will endure to the end. And just like Revelation says, those who endure to the end. How do we endure? Who is he that, or overcome is the word that I'm thinking of. Who is he that overcomes? He that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the one who overcomes. Romans 9 says, well, back up a little bit. First, we're drawn to Christ by the Father. That's what God does. This is what the only reason you're a Christian today is because God called you to himself. It ain't you, it ain't me. God called you and me to himself to become a true born-again believer. That's why we're believers today. The only reason. That's why you have genuine faith. That's why 40, 50 years down the road, you still believe. Because you're a true, genuine believer. Because you've been born again. And you have the Holy Spirit who guides and directs us. And so, and it says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. And see, that's a believing in your heart. You know, a lot of people believe, Satan believed Jesus is real, but he doesn't believe unto salvation. He doesn't believe in his heart that Christ is the Messiah. And a lot of people out there that don't believe that. They say they believe, but do you believe in your heart? And really, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty is that, well, let me read this first, and then I'll get into that. He says, Romans 10:9, most of you know it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, he says, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, for everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And so, you know, this is a fact. If you have genuine faith, you can know that you are going to heaven. It's not a question, not something I have to wrestle with. I know because my faith, put your faith in the facts and the feelings will follow you. But it's believing, true, genuine, believing in your heart. There's a difference between believing something and believing in your heart. And like I say, it goes back to the early church and the early Christians. They believed in their heart because they're getting ready to go be fed to the lions. When you're at that point, you have genuine faith. You're born again. You believe. Because you're not going to do that unless you do. And it's almost sad to see the church today that so many people are just religious. They're a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I hear that, and it's just like, man, do you even know what that is? Do you even care? And so that's why we have to equip ourselves and first examine our own hearts and our own lives. Am I a true believer? Am I a born-again believer? And so then we can go out and do the work that God has called us to do. But we have to examine our own hearts, our own lives, to make sure, man, I want God, I want to know. I want to make sure that I'm on the right track, that I'm believing in my heart, putting my faith, hope, and trust in Christ Jesus. Okay, he says, do not marvel at this, I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what is it? What is he saying here? What I believe he's saying is that you're born again, just like what I was previously saying, because the Holy Spirit has come to you. The call of God has come to you. The wind, if you will, the Spirit comes to whoever he wants to. God's the one who chooses. We didn't choose God. God chose you and me. And that's what he said here. He's like the wind. He comes and he calls whoever he wants to. He's God. He already knows who he's calling. Each and every people that aren't even born yet, God knows who he's calling out of these people. He knows who they are. He knows that the Spirit is calling them to himself. And so he's saying, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He says, you do not know. You do not know. But God knows. But that's great. That's good. I don't have to know. It's like I was thinking about, well, what's an example of that? And I was thinking about, what could we use as an example of that? And I was thinking about, like January 6th, you know, you identify with Trump, you're one of those guys, and, even if, I lost my train of thought, but even if you weren't even part of it, you're identified with that, but we're identified with Christ, not because we chose, but because he chose us, and that's what the wind is. We do not know. He comes and he goes. He came to me as a little boy, and I've told the story before, and called me to himself, and I was born again. And that's the way it is with you. In order to be born again, it first depends on the Spirit of God to call us to himself. It's the call of God. And he's talked about it, the call of God. There's a general call of God, the John 3:16, that none perish, all have everlasting life. Are all going to have everlasting life? No. But the call of God that comes to you and me, who are believers, the Spirit comes and draws us to Christ, and we become born again, and we have genuine saving faith. That's what it is. So the first thing is that we're drawn to Christ by the Father. We are drawn. This is what God does. And this to me, and I say this all the time, should produce humility. God chose me. Why did he choose me? I don't understand that. God drew me to himself. Why did he do that? God. Someday I'll know. I don't know now. But I thank God every day that you chose me, God. I thank you so much. And then he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ, who do you say that Jesus is? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? We need to examine ourselves. Am I a Christian? Have I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord? Who do I say that he is? Is he the I Am? Is he the Son of the Living God, the second person of the Trinity? Is that what I believe? Or what do I believe? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ unto saving faith because we're drawn, we're called to God first. And then we believe in our hearts. That's the third thing. Believing in your heart that he is. And I'm going to say this, and you may not agree, and this is what I believe, that you cannot have saving faith. You cannot be a true believer unless you're born again. So if you are a true believer, then you've been born.